The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Greetings and welcome to another edition of My Music. A colleague of mine once distinguished himself by saying that the chairs are all occupied by the usual faces. And the usual faces in our case belong respectively to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, competing in musical knowledge against John Amos and Frank Muir. All the pieces of music in this opening round have something to do with arrivals or entrances. Ian Wallace, whose entrance does this herald? Ian.
The Queen of Sheba.
That's right.
Presumably at the double.
That's right. Her arrival, yes. From, for your second mark.
From?
from elsewhere, I suppose.
Well, from as Frank says, from off stage.
Frank says from Sheba. Yeah.
From Sheba. Well.
The music from?
From immigration.
Or from transit.
The music's by Handel.
Yes, from an oratorio of his by the name of...
Oh. No, that's not the name.
Who was a close friend, as the newspapers say, of the Queen of Sheba? The audience is telling you in very loud voices,
and
actually.
John Amos is doing the most wonderful mime of cutting off a baby's head.
Which would indicate Herod.
King Herod, it would, wouldn't it? It should actually have been Solomon.
No fool, my God.
I thought he'd scored an own goal there for a moment.
Just a hazy recollection of the scriptures, I think you could say. Well, you got the title and you got Handel, so why not? $2, fair enough. Dennis, the arrival of spring, in your case, whose music and whose lyrics?
It's a beehive of budding son and daughter life. Every family has plans in due. Even down in the brook, the underwater life is forever blowing bubbles too.
Every male little mallard honks a heart-rending ballad from the stream where he sloshes in his web-foot galoshes.
Wonderful next line. He gurgles brimmingly, we'll get along swimmingly. It's spring.
Yes. Comes from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes.
Which the words, wonderful words, is your friend.
Yes, I'm happy
Steve,
to say.
Johnny Mercer.
The greatest of all lyric writers, I think. Yeah.
And he wrote two musicals with this bloke, Lil Abner, and, whose name was Jean DePaul.
That's right. Jean DePaul wrote the music. That's your two marks. John Amos, another arrival. Whose arrival where?
The 3:30 to Valhalla, yeah. Meeting a cow on the line.
Yes. Who was entering?
The entry of the gods.
Yes, into Valhalla from the finale of Das Rheingold. For your second mark, John, why are the Rhine maidens fed up about it?
Do you want it in Freudian terms?
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
In German.
Oh, no, not in German, in Freudian. No, just a...
Miss Rheingold of 1893.
Synopsis-wise would do. Something to do with their treasure.
They're trying to give it away. At least Votan is giving it away.
Well, yes.
She'd give him notice.
Yes, I think I can give it.
He's paying, is it Northolt and Fafnolt? No, what are they called? something like that. He's paying them,
yes.
Covering one of the goddesses with gold, and they can have all the gold they can take away, which the Rhine maidens think that they should really be guarding down in the Rhine.
Well, yes, that'll do nicely. The crisp answer I have here, the Rhine maidens are fed up about the entrance of the gods into Valhalla because their treasure was stolen in order to pay for the gods' beautiful home.
Well, you say it much better than I do.
Well, thank you, but I have reference to all the reference books at my fingertips, you see. Yes, fair enough. You have 2 marks. Entrances again. Frank Muir, whose entry? And I also want, please, the composer's name.
Entry of almost everybody. Circus clowns, ladies on horseback. Cyril Fletcher.
Yes, entrance of Cyril Fletcher. His signature tune.
Yes, it's actually ended high. It's Enter the Gladiators.
Yes.
By Fucic.
Yes, Julius Fucic. I never thought you'd know that.
Well, I didn't, actually. There's a fairy whisper wafted from my port side.
He was Fucic, 1872 to 1916. Yes, 2 marks to Frank. Some miscellaneous musical questions now. Ian, what did Dragonetti, Bottesini and Koussevitzky have in common?
Oh.
It's a prompt from Dennis, that's surprising.
I didn't hear it, unfortunately.
I said they're all difficult to spell.
They're all difficult to say, too. Dragonetti, Bottesini and Koussevitzky.
Koussevitzky was a... or is a Russian conductor.
No, but before that was. Yes.
Let's by a process of elimination, the other two are not Russian. They sound like Italians.
Yes, that's right. I think the one you're likely to know, apart from Koussevitzky, which you don't know, is Dragonetti. If you've heard that word at all, you'll have heard it in this connection, I think.
It was a television series.
Yes, I was thinking he must have composed bum, ba bum, bum.
only the names are changed to protect the innocent. Yes, I know. I think it could be said that you don't know.
Oh, well, it could, but...
Yes, it could. I think it has been.
Just a minute now. You said before that. In other words, what he did before he was a conductor.
That's right.
Well, he must have gone to some college of music somewhere and studied a musical instrument.
Ah, it's what he carried up the steps. That's the point.
The conductor.
Klinger. But he kept a satchel with the music in.
I refuse to go on any longer with this. They were all virtuoso double bass players. The 3 best-known double bass players in the world, I should think.
What about Slam Stewart?
Well, they didn't have the benefit of his advice. Dragonetti gave his name to a method of bowing the double bass. Anyway, no marks. Dennis, on a very different musical level, how far is it from Shelley's to Ronnie's? Slam Stewart could tell you.
Oh, it's in that era. Is Ronnie Scott's?
Yes.
Well, Ronnie Scott has a club in Soho.
That's right.
Which is known as Ronnie's. Yes. The only Shelley... Oh, yes, is Shelley Mann, who used to be the drummer with Stan Kenton and Woody Herman. And I worked with an American writer who used to spend all his time, apparently, at this... I don't know what the name of it is, but he had a club which had rather an exotic name, yes. I can't remember, which would have been in Los Angeles.
That's right, so...
It's however far it is from Los Angeles to Soho, but it's complicated because of the one-way system they've got now.
when you get to Soho, you've got to find Frith Street, which is even harder. That's right.
And it's getting to the airport that takes the time.
I would say about
6,000 miles.
Yeah, 5,500 miles, something like that, is the crow flies. Between Shelley Mann's club, Shelley's Manhole, it was called,
rather cleverly,
in Los Angeles, and Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London. News to me, by the way, that Shelley Mann ever worked with Woody Herman, but you could be right. Kenton was the great band he was with. John, Amos, what specifically did Domenico Alberti 1710 to 1740, do that benefited Haydn, Mozart and Beethoven, among others? Alberto.
Well, he is connected, like Koussevitzky and the other two blokes, with the bass.
Yes.
But the kind of bass that you play with the left hand on the piano.
Yes, or on a celeste, as I will now do. Yes, he devised, really, the sort of... that sort of bass, and it's usually known as the Alberti bass, even in something like a Beethoven sonata. Yes, Mark, to you. Frank, where does the expression come from, pièce de sauvetage?
Comes from France.
Well,
does it not?
I can't deny that. Yes, I can't deny that. Yes,
sauvetage is salvage, isn't it?
Yes, in a way.
Pièce de salvetage. It's a fallen woman has been redeemed. Pièce de.
You're on the right track. I can't say you've actually got a mark here.
It's not the French name for. I sing the very low notes. It's a one day he gets them. Yours very sincerely. Flotsam and jetsam.
Pièce de sauvetage.
Pièce de sauvetage. Flotsam and jetsam.
Oh, oh, I see. Worth a mark while I tell you what it really means, all right?
Really, yeah.
I think, yes. When I asked where does the expression pièce de sauvetage come from, it comes from the opera world in Rossini's day, meaning operas that include last-minute rescues, literally rescue pieces. And a good example would be, of course, Fidelio, where somebody is, in fact, rescued more or less at the last moment. Interesting, I thought. Not so interesting. I was about to say not so interesting as your answer, but I didn't expect it to be. Our contestants are provided with pens and paper, but most of the time they only use them for doodling. In Dennis's case, I noticed magnificent black Baroque, highly revealing doodles, which I hope to publish in a book one day. For the next round, though, pen and paper is needed, because you have to write down the six tunes in your particular piano medley, which I'm about to play. First medley is for Ian and Dennis, six tunes as usual, and three marks available. Assiduously, or doodling. Who's got the first one, Ian, Dennis?
It's a lovely day tomorrow.
Thank you, yes.
Then the next bit, there was a bit of that Charlie Chaplin tune, Smile and
no.
Your Heart Is
No, it wasn't.
Was
no.
It?
Oh. No, it wasn't. It was. It may have been in somebody's mind when he wrote it. Yeah. Did you recognise it, Ian? It's your field, rather. Kateri. Calling to me. Kateri. Then came, Ian.
Getting sentimental over you.
Ah, but before that was something you both missed, I think. Yes. Slavonic Dance number 8 in G minor by Dvořák, opus 46. And then came Dennis.
Getting sentimental over you.
And the last one.
If I had a talking picture
of you. 4 out of 6, 3 marks. Well done. Two marks. Two marks.
Don't wish to be pedantic, but I heard a chap with an educated voice saying that it's not opus, it's opus.
Opus.
Because opus is un-Latin and un-English and un-everything else.
Thank you very much. No. Opus 46, then.
No. Opus. The BBC, the brand
Dennis,
of Latin.
He had
the
a very, very educated voice, this chap.
I know, but you know what they're like. You know.
Well, I'll tell you. I went to school and learnt Latin just as they were changing from the old style to... No, from the new style back to the old. And I'm like the teacher in Goodbye, Mr. Chips, who likes to call it Kai Chaisin, and not We Kiss Him, if you remember.
Yeah. Did you say Kaiser for Caesar?
Yes, yes, Julius, right. Kaiser. Yeah. Yes.
Well, let's have some more extracts from Oprah.
Yeah.
Yes, all right. Yes. This is for John and Frank, your medley.
Three? Oh, God.
Yeah. Well,
I hope it's the other three.
Yes, that's right. Who's got the... You've both got the first one.
Maybe I become some Londoner.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner, yes. Then came... Frank.
You didn't have a number two.
No.
All right. Number two was If I Had You. Da 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 da.
Oh, nonsense.
Then, John.
Meistersinger Overture.
Yes, or Prelude, yes. Oh, then came...
Then came...
Then came...
then came...
It was a lovely melody that one knows so well.
Yeah, but can't put a name to.
It was... it was Hooper's number... no, what was it?
It was... It was Roses of Picardy. Roses are blooming in Picardy. Then came... Two more.
Oh, my heart's
delight. You are my heart's delight, yes. And finally, I don't think you got it, John, did you?
Finally, there was a bit of Les Sylphides.
Oh, yes, that would do. Or the E-flat waltz, opus 18, grand waltz, Triante, yes. You, too, get 4 out of 6, so it's 2 marks to you. And that's the halfway mark. Let's have a look at the score. Leading by 1 mark at the moment, John Amis and Frank Muir. I'm going to mention now a few of yesterday's instrumentalists. The question is, what did they play? Ian Wallace, which instrument in particular did Eric Coates play?
The viola.
Yes. Or Frank would perhaps prefer you to say the viola, would he? After the trouble we had with opus and opus. Yes, the viola.
I have an open mind on the subject, or an open mind.
I think he played the viola while wearing a viola in his buttonhole, probably. Anyway, whatever it was, he played it in Sir Henry Wood's Queen's Hall Orchestra before he became, of course, a famous...
Some musicians call them Bratcher Scratchers. Bratcher being the German for viola. Sorry, erudite. Shut up.
Ian, one mark to you.
Cut.
Dennis, Tricky Sam.
Tricky Sam?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be Samuel Pepys, who I learnt on this programme, I think... played the either flute or recorder, I've forgotten now.
The flageolet.
The flageolet, that's it, yes. Very nice there.
No, not Tricky Sam Pepys.
Bishop
Wilson. Wasn't the one who played the musket.
No. No. I don't know Tricky Sam. It sounds like a character out of Lil Abner or something. But
no, well, no. In fact, musically speaking, a character out of Duke Ellington's orchestra, a trombonist named Tricky Sam Nanton.
Ah.
A man of greatest eminence in the Ellington world earlier.
I beg his pardon.
No marks there. John Amis, Joseph Daniels.
Joseph who?
Joseph Daniels.
How to spell it?
Frank is helping you, yes.
Joe Daniels.
Oh, and his hot shots.
Yes, all right, then Joe Daniels. I was having you on slightly, yes. Played the...
Percussion.
Yes, drums with Harry Roy's band and with his own hot shots during the Second World War years, Joe Daniels. Frank Muir, Ish Kabibble.
He was one of those chaps who, while the orchestra vamped, unhooked his saxophone or stepped aside from his drums and wove his way in between the music stands and did something semi-comical in front of the band.
That's right, except that whenever he was doing that, they were one short in the trumpet department.
Ah, yes. Actually. Well, they probably would be because he played the trumpet.
No, the trumpet player hadn't turned up. Yes, he played the trumpet. Can you give me the name of the band? Whose band was it? No?
It's an American band.
Yes, American band. Vocals, comedy routines with Dennis. You know, don't you?
Kay Kaiser.
Kay Kaiser's band, yeah. Since the question was what instrument, Frank, I think all I can do is half a mark there. Out of one. The last round, the singing one, seems to have something this week to do with flowers and fruit. not to say veggies in a couple of cases. Beginning with Dennis, we've got part of a record, and then two marks, Dennis, if you can carry on with the song.
Whoa, I say, see the Costa bearers, vegetable manners, and the fruit pile high. Whoa, I say, little London sparrows, Covent Garden Market, where the costas cry.
Early rain with the pavements glistening, all Park Lane wears a shimmering gown. Nothing can ever break or harm the charm of London town.
Very nice.
I didn't know about that song till it never occurred to me. It's the same tune as Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, which, considering the time it was written, is rather nice.
Well, I won't comment on that. Nice idiosyncratic performance from
Why won't you comment on it, Steve? You generally comment.
Because I'm not sure if it's true or not.
Well, it's the same tune as Won't You Buy My Sweet Scented Lavender.
All my life I've been hearing people say that A is the same tune as B, and it seldom is, in my experience, hardly ever. Sometimes the rhythms are the same, but not the notes.
Right?
And then when the rhythms and the notes are, the chords aren't the same.
I'll tell you two of them the same. The Yankee Doodle went to town, and Kitty Fisher's lost her locket.
Yes.
Kitty Fisher's lost her locket was a filthy 18th century song, which then went across to America and became Yankee Doodle.
And the chords remain the same as well, don't they?
Mind you, it's the same. Yeah. It's the same tune. It's not a similar tune, which is rather different thing.
This is what we call a chat show, folks.
I hope as I'm right.
Dennis has two marks for that idiosyncratic performance of London Pride. John, your turn. Again, the subject is flora, flowers. A rather sober introduction, and then in you come, please.
Tu m'avais jeté dans ma prison, mais t'es resté flétrie et sèche. Cette fleur gardait toujours sa douce odeur.
You stuck at it, you could have been another Lulu.
I think listeners should know that John is actually a very large, well-built man, and it's always a thrill to hear that small, exquisite voice issuing, I think, from somebody keeps inside there as a spare.
Certainly gets him two marks, anyway. Frank, The Mikado, Act Two, and a song in praise of spring flowers, if you'll kindly oblige. I will oblige first with an introduction to set you off in the right key. Ready? Here goes. Why don't you stop?
Amen. The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, bring promise of merry sunshine. As we merrily dance and we sing, tra-la, we welcome the hope of a spring. Tra-la, a summer of roses and wine. A summer of roses and wine. And that's what we mean when we say of a thing. Oh, welcome as the flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la, la-la-la. La-la, la-la-la. Ooh. Tiddly-pum-ty-pum.
Yes. from the Mikado, or the town of Tiddly-Pom-Ti-Pom, 2 marks to Frank. Ian, I thought you might favour us with a song about the agricultural treatment of a globular-rooted biennial used in feeding cattle, of which the top is employed as a vegetable, and the method of encouraging its growth, the skilled use of the hoe, which I think is the clue to what I have in mind, the hoe.
"'Twas on a jolly summer's morn, the 21st of May, joyous Scroggins took his term at O'Wan, with it trudged away. And some delights in hay-making, and some as fancies mowing, but the best of trades, as I likes best, give me the term at Owen. For the fly, the fly, the fly is on the term at, and it's all my eye for we to try to keep fly off the term at."
Thank you. And so we homeward plod our weary way at the end of this edition of My Music. A victory by 1.5 marks for Giles Scroggins, John Amis and Frank Muir.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.